If you were here at 7:30 this morning, you heard me preach on what I thought was the dumbest statement ever made by man. If you were not here at 7:30 this morning, you would hear me make another dumb statement. I mean, usually I would chastise you for not being at a service, but I'm going to let you go this morning because, to be quite honest, 7:30 came too early for me this morning. It was one of those deals. But nonetheless, the dumbest statement ever made by man was found when the religious leaders told the Roman guards to say concerning the resurrection, "His disciples came while you guys slept and stole the body." I think that was an absolutely stupid statement, and I went through some reasons why this morning. If you would be interested in that, I would encourage you to get a copy of the morning message. I'm not going to repeat it this service here. But what's interesting about that is how it is contrasted with the two peoples that were at the tomb at that present time. The Roman guards, along with the Jewish leadership that they represented, did not believe in a resurrection. Theologically, theoretically, they said that is a stupid idea. It's never going to happen. In fact, when the religious leaders came to Pilate, they said this deceiver concerning Christ spoke that he was going to be raised in 3 days. And what a idiotic statement that is. We don't believe him, but we're really afraid that his disciples will come and take his body and make it look like he rose from the dead. Therefore, we want these guards to guard the tomb and make it sure and all that. And what's interesting, they didn't believe in resurrection, but they were absolutely convinced something was going to happen at the tomb. Contrast that with the women who came that morning. They believed in a resurrection. Both theoretically and theologically, they believed in it. In fact, if you would go over to John chapter 11, and I do not need you to do so this morning, but there you have the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Martha came out as Christ came, and Lazarus is already in the tomb, and she said to him, "Had you been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said to her, "Well, your brother will live again." And she said, "I know in the resurrection at the last day, he will stand again." She believed in a resurrection. But yet they came to the tomb that morning, and they weren't expecting anything to happen or to have happened there. What a shock when they got there that morning. A tale of two peoples. One believing that it could happen and not expecting it to, and another that didn't believe that anything could happen, but were expecting something. I want to develop that this morning and look at the differences between them. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 24, and I want to begin reading at the very first verse. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout. They couldn't figure out what was going on. They came bearing these spices, proof positive that they didn't think anything had happened. They were going to anoint this body that they expected to be there, because in the preparations for the Passover, Jesus dying at the very end of what I believe was Good Friday, they had to get his body off of the cross quickly so that the land would not be defiled and into the tomb so that they could observe the Passover. And his burial preparations were really, really, really quick. And they thought, you know, we could do a little bit better. And they brought all these spices to anoint the body, and no body. Where to go? "They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. If you will this morning, whether you officially mark up your Bibles or not, that's one thing. But mark these words, at least in your minds. They form the crux of this whole message that I want to share with you. They remembered his words. They are most important. The angel says, remember when Christ told you before he was crucified how these things were going to happen? And they go, oh, yeah. They remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now, let me back up here for just a moment. They're coming. They're expecting a body. They're not finding a body. Why didn't they expect, or were they looking for a body? They forgot his words. They knew it in theory. Their theology, if you would have gone up to them and say, do you believe in the resurrection? They would say, we certainly do. It's all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. We can find types of it. We can find specific statements of it. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. Do you think that Jesus is going to raise? No, I don't think so. So they're coming for a body. If you compare the gospel accounts, you will find that no one gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, gives us the whole story of the resurrection. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, each of them has captured bits and pieces of it, which pertains to the message that they're trying to declare. Consequently, if you look at Luke's gospel, you will find that it reads differently from John's gospel. And because of that, some have concluded that, see, here are these gospel writers, four of them, good friends, they can't even agree with one another. It must be something that's made up. Must be something that really did not happen historically, but they want us to believe that it did, so they made up this story, but when they get down to the very facts, they disagree with each other, and it's not really true, it's not really believable, there was no resurrection. May I say to you, nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, there are a number of ways that all four gospel accounts can be harmonized. Let me share with you what I believe is the best harmonization. Do you know why it's the best? It's mine. These women were coming from Bethany, which is a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. There were a group of them, and verse 10 tells us it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them. I believe that Mary Magdalene either couldn't wait for the other women. You know, they were, you know, getting the hair rollers and curling irons going, and they didn't want to go to the tomb until they had their makeup on or whatever the case may be. That's probably not the case. Probably she was just more impatient than the rest. Possibly she was younger than the rest of the women and walked faster. But according to John's gospel, she got there first. And she came and she saw the stone had been rolled away, and she assumed that someone took the body. She runs into Jerusalem, not very far away, where Peter and John were, told them that someone's taken the body, and both Peter and John run out to the tomb. They go in, they look around, they see the body is not there. They said, you know what, Mary must have been right. They come back into Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene gets there. She may have been faster than the other women, but she was not faster than Peter and John. She goes in, she looks around, sees the angel who instructs her. She goes out, and there she finds what she presumes to be a gardener. And she said, look, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is. I'll take care of him. And he turns to her and says, Mary. And at that very point, she knew who he was. And she heads on back into Jerusalem to tell Peter and John and now the rest of the 11 that she's seen the resurrected Christ. At this point in time, the other women who were either starting out later or who didn't quite walk as fast, they get to the tomb. They go in, and Luke provides us with the account here. They were much perplexed about what was going on. They hear the message of the angels that he is not here, he's risen. Remember the words? They go out, and as they're going to tell the disciples back in Jerusalem, Jesus meets up with them and appears unto them. And they go back to Jerusalem and tell Peter and John and the rest of the 11. They've seen the resurrected Christ. Now, you would think, here are these women, having seen independently the resurrected Christ, when they get back and are standing before the theological giants of the day, the men of faith, the men who have walked with Christ for 3+ years, who knew His teaching, who could tell you exactly what was supposed to take place, that they would be overjoyed. They would be excited. They would be happy. They would be enthusiastic. They would be awestruck. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. In the margin of my Bible, I have these words. These are the saddest words of Scripture. They believed them not. Why? Why didn't these men believe the account of the women? Go back to verse 8. The women remembered His words. The men didn't. You know how I know that to be true? Read on with me. Drop down Luke chapter 24 to verse 22. You have the 11 gathered together the whole day. Peter and John had gone out. They had looked in the tomb. They didn't see a thing. They came back. They said, He's not there. The women come in. They said, Hey, wait a minute. We've seen Him. They said, Yeah, you silly women. You must have been seeing things. And they sat there, if He's really alive, then He'll come and He'll manifest Himself to us. And He didn't come all day. Finally, at the end of the day, there were two disciples that lived in Emmaus, about 7 miles away. And they said, you know what, guys, it's been a long day. We've had enough. We're going home. And they started heading down the road to Emmaus when all of a sudden this man just kind of joined their company. And he was asking what all the hubbub was about. And they said, well, you know, haven't you been around? Don't you know what's going on? And we thought we had found the Messiah, but He's been crucified and they buried Him. And it just didn't work out the way we wanted. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. We thought we had a glimmer of hope there, but it just didn't work out. To which Jesus said, O fools and slow to believe all the prophets had spoken. In other words, don't you guys remember what Jesus said? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now He is giving them the Word of God, His Word. It is now fresh in their minds, and as they get back there, they begin to break bread, and all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, that's Christ. That's the resurrected Lord. And He disappeared out of their sight. Why? They remembered His word. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? His word was dwelling in us richly, and we beheld Him, we saw Him. Our despondency, our grief was lifted. Isn't this wonderful? And what did they do? They ran back to Jerusalem. Oh, it had been a long day, but it wasn't long enough for them. They got back there as quickly as they could, and they came in, verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking the bread. And if you would go over to Mark's Gospel, you would find out that the rest of them said, you got to be kidding. Because when Jesus did come, He upbraided them for their unbelief. The rest of these guys didn't remember the word. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? And He showed them His hands, and He showed them His side, and they had something to eat. Verse 44, and He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and so on and so on. And what had happened? They had seen the resurrected Christ. When? When they had remembered His words. What about the Roman soldiers and the Jewish leadership? They had also heard His words. In fact, the Jewish leaders, when they came to Pilate, they said, look, this guy said He was going to be raised the third day. They knew the historicity of Christ. They recognized Him as a historical being. Said there are a number of theologians today that said that we don't even know that there was a historical Christ, but we believe in the Christ of Scripture. Now figure that one out. We don't know if Jesus actually existed, but we believe there is a Christ, an anointed of God. Whether He was a real person or not, who cares? God does. Oh yeah, I do too. They knew there was a historical Christ. They knew exactly what He said. They just didn't believe it. And they lived a lie for the rest of their lives, as I spoke earlier this morning. And they went off into eternity without Christ. What's the difference between these two people? The women came to the sepulcher, and there they remembered His words. The men later that day, after hearing the word of God, remembered His words, and there they saw Christ. And what was the response? I missed emphasizing one verse. Verse 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. As soon as they remembered the words, and as soon as they had seen the risen Christ, they said, we can't keep this to ourselves. we've got to go and tell everybody we can. And they did. First of all, the 11. Because, after all, they are going to be, as the Apostle Paul would say, the foundation of the church which would yet come on the day of Pentecost. Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. How many people did the 11 reach that first day with the good news of the gospel? Verse 11 says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales." Do you know why? Because they were sitting around idle all day long. Didn't do a thing. Didn't reach a soul. But once they remembered the Word of God, and once they had seen the resurrected Christ, what happened? They went out and started telling everybody about a resurrected Christ. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. Fasten your seatbelts. When was the last time you talked to somebody about a resurrected Savior? Did you forget His words? You see, with each of these, as they remembered the Scripture, there was a commission given. First to the women, go tell His disciples. And then to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. For you see, there's a whole world out there. There are Jewish leaders, religious people. There are Roman soldiers, civil servants that are unbelieving. Oh, they know it. They've heard it, but they don't believe it. And they need to hear it and come to faith, or they will go off into eternity, into a place of condemnation, of judgment. Oh, by the way, that's a literal place. I have to write a report on new theology called pluralism. I was explaining it in Sunday school a little bit this morning, but most pluralists deny the eternality of judgment. Won't they be surprised? And they say, well, the reason they believe, pluralism states that anyone, no matter what they believe, can be a Buddhist, can be a Hindu, can be a Jew, can be a Christian, can be just about anyone other than an atheist, as long as they have some type of faith in God, because God is love, must necessarily receive them into eternity. Or else He's not really a God of love. Wait a minute. For God so loved the world. Not God was forced into giving His only begotten Son. Not that God reluctantly gave His only begotten Son, but God, in such a manner, literally the Greek text says, loved the world. Paul says, there aren't words adequate enough to describe how wonderful that love is. That's a God of love who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting love or life. The world needs to hear that message. Do you remember the Word? If so, go preach it. Let's pray. Father, we all too often are like the women and like the apostles. We get our theological ducks all lined up in a row, but they're only theoretical. We fail to bring them into the practice of our life. We go looking in tombs. And like the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? We sit around our houses all day, maybe even piously praying and communing with our Father, and we forget the words of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Lord, forgive us. Father, I wonder if there's one here this morning who are like those Roman soldiers or Jewish leaders that don't even believe in the resurrection. They look at this day and they say, oh, we think something happened, but it certainly wasn't a resurrection. And the question I ask is then, how could Christ show Himself alive to so many? He is alive. And He's coming again. Father, we thank You for that truth. But I pray if there's one who's never really believed that truth, and they may have heard it before, they may have recognized it as being scriptural, but never really trusted in the One who died on Calvary's cross to pay for their sins, that even right now they might turn from unbelief to faith and come to know Christ as Savior. Maybe like an Apostle Paul who was one day walking down a different road and got turned around and went out and preached Christ. Lord, make us vocal today. Make us vibrant today. Make us active and alive for the cause of Christ. In the glory of His name, we pray these things. Amen.